101.7 The Truth. You are officially tapped in with your girl, Jazz Tyler. Happy Friday, Milwaukee. We have officially made it to the end of the week. Oh my gosh. And what a week it has been. It has been an amazing week. Looking forward to spending some time to myself this weekend. I do not want to be around anybody. I just want some self-care. If you've been working all week, I know you feel me. Thank you all for tuning in today. Make sure that you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth. Follow us on social media at 101.7 The Truth. Tap in M-K-E-N, The Jazzy Effect, J-A-Z-Z-I-E-E-F-F-E-C-T. It has been an amazing week. We've covered a lot. Today we're going to talk about just a brief recap of some takeaways. And we're going to have a Friday kickback. We ain't solving nothing today, okay? Meech and Z was talking about me, y'all. They said yesterday was Jasmine Tyler and Associates. Said I was over here on true crime solving stuff. But yeah, it's Friday. So we've had some interesting conversations, some real conversations this week. And, you know, we just want to lighten it up a little bit as we go into the weekend. So make sure y'all stay along for the ride, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Stay Fair. Let's kick it off with Stay Fair. Stay Fair has officially opened. And if you are like me, you are going to go down there and get those cream puffs. Hopefully we have a safe, a safe State Fair this week. This year. We all know how it can be with the youth and with adults and just so many different people in one space. So hopefully everybody can enjoy themselves without any unnecessary drama, right? We don't want any unnecessary drama at State Fair. We want to be able to go and enjoy ourselves and take our families and have a good time. Speaking of festivals, Bronzeville Fest is still happening. Tomorrow is the last day. Today, they've had the Bronzeville Lunch and Learn later on this evening. They're doing the Lit in Bronzeville at Salute Society from 5 to 8. Then the Bronzeville Sleepover for Education, which will take place at Dr. Martin Luther King Drive in North Avenue from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. Tomorrow morning at 9:30, they are doing the Pancakes and Poetry at Rise and Grind. And earlier this year, I mentioned that, shout out to Bobbini, the owner of Rise and Grind. She's actually permanently closing. She's shutting down Rise and Grind. Rise and Grind was an amazing establishment, especially after Coffee Makes You Black ended up closing. A lot of our elders migrated over to Rise and Grind. So we hate to see her go, but I know that she has some amazing things she's working on. So if you get time tomorrow, make sure you stop down to Rise and Grind, 2737 North MLK Drive, hosted by Mario the Poet for Pancakes and Poetry, followed by Bronzeville's Farmers Market from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. At 414 Floral, the Bronzeville Ride. So if you are not familiar with Bronzeville to its entirety, as far as the development, the businesses, etc., at 10 o'clock, they will be meeting up at 1937 North MLK Drive to take a ride on the trolley around Bronzeville. So you get to see all of the work and development and love that has gone into that community. And after that, they're going to have a local legend softball game with Mr. G Clippers and Ray Hill at Carver Park from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Sound like it's going to be a lot of Bengay. A lot of people knees is going to be hurting tomorrow evening when you hear the word legend. We already know what time it is. Make sure y'all stop down and check out the local legend softball game. And then Together We Dream Bronzeville Art Walk from 4 to 7 at Salute Society, and High Hearts, a mono series at Alamo at 6:30, 1912 North MLK Drive. That is going to be the last event for Bronzeville Week this year. Again, shout out to my students at Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy, Kalea Lovett, Edwin Lawrence, and Darius Ashford. They all won first, second, and third place during Bronzeville Festival on this past Sunday, performing. They're rappers and they make beats and they be getting it in and they want some money too. Let me hold something, y'all. Let me hold something. We also have the community. Alderman Chambers has a back to school festival taking place Sunday, August 30th from 12 to 4 at the Indigenous Park, People's Park, 7301 West Cortland Avenue. They will have free book bag supplies, a kids fun zone, free hygiene products, free burgers and hot dogs, free haircuts, a bike raffle, health screenings, a DJ, and so much more. These are the type of events that I like to plug because for some families, it's a little difficult around this time, especially with bills and the children going back to school. So while there is, supplies left, and while there is people who are doing events inside of the community, I want to make sure that we are aware and that we're spreading this information so that you guys can make sure your students are headed into school the proper way. Next week, August 11th, next Tuesday, will be the primary election. So if you have not gotten a chance to get out and vote, make sure you go cast your ballot, right? This election is extremely important. We want to make sure that we put the right person in office. We want to make sure that we are doing our due diligence. It's been very interesting, right? We know that Mandela has dropped out a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of rhetoric online about Hong and some previous tweets. The biggest concern I have, one of the biggest concerns I have with her specifically is her attempting to get rid of the school choice voucher, which would eliminate parents like myself who utilize this system primarily because the educational resources that are provided at these schools are beneficial for my children as well as other people's children, right? Not everyone, wants to go to a public school. Some people want to go to private schools. Some people want to go to charter schools. But at the end of the day, the choice should be ultimately up to the parent, The choice should be up to the parent. We should have a choice on where we want our children to attend, what schools we want our children to attend based off of how they learn, based off of their capacity to learn. And removing that would be a hinder, In my personal opinion, removing that voucher would hinder us. I don't believe that it would help us. I've seen in the news that Governor Evers stated that he do not believe Hong can beat Tom Tiffany. He does not have faith. And after he has endorsed Crowley, I would imagine he wouldn't believe that she could beat Tom Tiffany. They've also been talking about the fact that Bernie Sanders stated he do not plan on endorsing Hong. This is, again, becoming very interesting. So far, I've seen Crowley receive endorsements from the mayor of Waukesha. He's also received an endorsement from Gwen Moore. He's received an endorsement from Governor Tony Evers, as well as some union reps. So he's getting the endorsements left and right. Again, not quite sure how this is going to play out, but I do hope that if you are able to that you're, that you do go down and cast your ballot. Again, this is probably one of the most important elections that we've had, especially when it comes to the governor's race. One of the things that I also want to highlight that I've seen Crowley talk about was the mass incarceration piece. And that's something that's extremely important, especially because he is a county exec and he is primarily over those facilities here in the city of Milwaukee. If I'm not mistaken, this is the only county that has, Milwaukee County is the only county, I think he said, that has not a prison or something to that effect, but it was something that separated us from other counties. And he's been doing the work when it comes to that. That is something that I have not heard the other candidates speak about. I have not heard them speak about mass incarceration. I have not heard them speak about finding ways to make sure that returning citizens are being taken care of as they re-enter society so that they can become successful. These are things that I have been paying attention to. And again, shout out to David Crowley for even acknowledging that and being willing to continue to support that. No matter how much we feel, have ill feelings about it or how we feel about it at all, it is something that we cannot overlook. It is a reality, especially if you are the parent of a young Black man in the state of Wisconsin. This is a harsh reality. So again, make sure you cast your vote next week, August 11th, for the primary election. We got to go to break. When we come back, listen, I told y'all it's Friday kickback. We've been talking heavy all week. It's time to have a little fun. We're going to tap into the Bucks. Let's see what's happening with the Bucks. Don't touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Go. Damn, it is exclusive.
Everybody on your feet.
Go.
All about my bucks, I guess that I'm going round today.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Hey, check this out. This week has been very, very, very impactful. Every single day has been impactful. We've had some amazing conversations. But today, like I said, we're not solving nothing today, man. Jazz is tired. I want to kick back. I am preparing for the sports season. For those who are not familiar, I played basketball. I played basketball fifth grade through high school, and I am a huge sports fanatic. I know I'm going to get chewed out for saying this, but my favorite football team is the Cowboys. I like the Packers. I'm a default Packer fan, but I grew up in an era where Prime, when he was playing for...
Show's over.
Look at Z said it's a wrap. You got to pick up and go home, man. Listen, I have a valid reason, though. I grew up when Prime Time was playing for the Cowboys. And if you grew up during that time, he was undeniable. There is no way that you could not be a Dallas Cowboy fan. Again, I am a Packers fan. But above all, I am a Milwaukee Bucks fan. You understand? And before we get into the fun today, we have to talk about our teams because the Bucks is looking a little different, right? Taylor Jenkins is now leading as the Bucks head coach. TJ Ford is back in Milwaukee. Yes, Terrence Ford, the former Bucks point guard, drafted 8th overall pick in 2003, is now returning as one of the assistant coaches. And I love that because it's a full circle. You know, he once came here to help lead the franchise on the floor, and now he gets to pour into the next generation from the sideline. That is truly legacy. We also have a new group of players to learn. Braden Burries, Nate Ament, Tyler Hero, just a couple of people who you may or may not be familiar with. But all in all, again, this is a completely new chapter for the Milwaukee Bucks. We know how important Giannis was to the city. We know how important the Bucks is when it comes to not just, you know, the excitement, but also the economic growth in the city of Milwaukee is very important. So I'm eager to see how this is going to play out with the Bucks. I don't have any biased opinions at the moment. I do feel a way because I'm not sure if I don't want to sound like a hater. I'm not sure if we have a roster that can carry us to another championship. And I could be wrong because I am one of those people who do not like when people underestimate me. And I'm pretty sure that the new team that is coming probably feels the same way. What I will say is they're going to have to work their butts off. They're going to have to work their butts off to prove to the fans. I'm also eager to see how full or empty these arenas are going to be. If I'm curious to know if the sales has been impacted, the season tickets, because Giannis is no longer with us. So again, the Bucks, man, it's looking, we in a new wave. We're transitioning into something completely different. Speaking of sports, I don't know if you guys see this viral clip that's been going around social media with Pat Murphy, but it was hilarious. Unfortunately, I can't play it for you guys because there's a lot of swearing in it. But when I seen it, it tickled me. Apparently, the pitcher hit the person who was swinging a bat in the butt. He did it like twice. He kept saying that he did it on purpose. So much to the point where Pat ended up getting into it with the other guy, exchanging some words. It's always funny to see white people arguing. I'm just being honest. Yeah, you're a real tough guy, aren't you? Yeah, you're a real tough guy. It was going back and forth. Oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like it. It was hilarious. Shout out to the Brewers. Shout out to the Bucks. Looking forward to, and shout out to the Packers too. Looking forward to the sports season. So, as we head into the 5 o'clock hour, again, this is Friday Kickback, man. We're going to kick back, have some fun. We're going to talk about the Black Household Hall of Fame. And y'all know what I mean. From the Ghetto Olympics to do your mama or your grandmama use your grocery store bags as garbage bags? All of the things, right? I just want to circle back on this week and recap some of the things that we talked about. Primarily because we had some amazing interviews, but also there were some gems that were dropped that I don't want them to be overlooked. So the first is the Let Them Theory. If you guys have not had a chance to check out any of the interviews or any of the shows this week, you can do so by going to youtube.com and typing in 101.7. The truth, tap in, you'll be able to pull up every single show I've ever done. If you've ever missed any interview, you can go back and watch it. My favorite interview, one of my favorite interviews thus far, most definitely was the interview that I had with legendary Homer Blow. There were a lot of gems dropped in that interview. There was a lot of information that he had given about himself. But the biggest takeaway for me, and I hope it's the same with you all, is you know, at the end of the day, the more you learn someone, the more you understand why they are the way that they are. And even though it sounds very simple and cliche, it's the truth. Because a lot of times, miscommunication and misjudgment forces us to behave or act a certain way towards certain people because we don't understand them. It is very imperative that you take the time and opportunity to learn people, right? I'm a person who loves to analyze. I love analyzing people, just humans in general, because it helps me communicate better. And sitting down with Homer, it made so much sense as to why he has these huge birthday bashes for the kids, why he's a prominent figure in our community. There were so many things that forced me to open my eyes to see why he is the way that he is. And I also took that and then implemented it, you know, on the outside, meaning I started to make sure that I took a step back and started to view people, you know, a little bit differently so that I can learn them and learn why they are the way that they are. Another thing that I took away from that interview was the full circle moments, right? It's not often that you get the opportunity to sit across from someone who has impacted your life in a major way. And what I mean by that is the information that was provided to me from Homer, the advice that he had given me, I actually implemented it and it worked, right? So it was a full circle moment where I asked him for advice 16 years later today. And now I am implementing that advice so that I can go on to be successful. So my call to action for that specifically is take the time to learn someone without judgment, without prejudging, without any expectations or conditions. Just learn people, right? And obviously, I'm not saying you have to go around learning everybody. If it don't apply, let it fly. But evidently, I'm speaking to those who have certain individuals in their lives. You want to, you know, figure out who they are so that you can learn how to best support them in whatever way that they need. Don't support them in the way that you want to support them, in the way that they need to be supported. We also had a conversation with entrepreneur Kenneth Mays, and his story is amazing. He moved up here from Mississippi at the age of 14, which is, you know, that's a little bit different. When you take a child who's going to high school and move them to a different state, the transition can be a little bit difficult. So he transitioned up here, ended up, you know, selling dinners and things of that nature, working his way up to the point where he purchased his business, the Fifth Street Corner Market Fish Market on 60th of Lisbon. It's the old Red Snapper. Now he is about to open up 80 Proof, which is a bar on Jefferson Street. His story was amazing, but we also had some fun. We had some interesting conversations. One of the questions that was asked based off of something I seen was if someone over the age of 35, if they've never been married in a serious relationship or doesn't have any children, if that's a red flag, right? For me, it is. For some, it isn't. But again, I just be feeling like, what have you been doing this entire time, right? So shout out to Kenneth May. Shout out to Fifth Street Corner Market, the fish market. If y'all get a chance, man, go ahead and check out some of that seafood. It's fire over there. I know a lot of people that grew up on Red Snappers, you know, if you haven't been, you may be a little skeptical. Don't be. I'm telling you firsthand, I am a customer and the food is fire. We also had a conversation with Philly Flyboy, legendary Philly Flyboy. So I met Philly. Philly actually reached out to me. He seen my music video back in 2011, was like, yo, this is one of my favorite Milwaukee videos, right? And this is during a time where a lot of people wasn't, you know, doing videos or shooting videos. And we did a song together. And then from there, just been plugging me. Hey, T.I. want to do some work with Crystal Kaiser. Let me call Jazzy. T-Pain want to bring What's Cancel Festival there. Let me call Jazzy. Trey the Truth want to do Trey Day. Let me call Jazzy. Every time somebody wants to do something, Philly calls me. I make it happen. We build the relationships. We build the city up and we bring the resources here. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because a lot of people like to gatekeep. You know, a lot of people don't like to give the information or put you in a position to win. And I've only seen him put the people around him in a position to win without bragging. And that's extremely important to me. So big shout out to Philly Flyboy. We also talked to Sade Robinson's mother yesterday. When we come back, we'll tap into that. And as we head into the 5 o'clock hour, it's Friday Kickback. Talking about the Black Household Hall of Fame, baby. Got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. .7 and Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 and Truth. Shout out to the chat, everyone in their vehicles who are currently listening and tapping in. We got a caller on the line. Al, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And please correct me if I'm wrong. Did your guest say yesterday if you ain't been married and you're over 35, that's a red flag?
So it wasn't the guest yesterday. This was a guest a couple of days ago. We were talking about it. The question came up, is it a red flag if you haven't been married, been in a serious relationship, or had children over the age of 35? I said it was a red flag, right, personally, for me, dating a man who hasn't been, because what have you been doing this entire time?
Oh, okay, because I was just trying to figure out, because I'm over 35, and I ain't never been married, and I'm like, you know, if I do get married, I'm going to, you know, marry because they're going to fit all my needs and desires. Prime example, if I marry somebody and they already been married, whatever you gave your first wife or your first husband, I'm going to have to get that double because I'm getting seconds.
But have you ever been in a serious relationship, Al?
Yes, I have, but I didn't really get what I want, so I had to let it go. So I'm going to hold out for the big fish, which means I want a certain style of living. I want a certain size of a house. I don't want to hear about all the great experiences that you created with somebody else.
Yes.
I want to create those 10 times more. I'm not settling for potential. I don't care
yes.
what you've been through. I want the best. So that, you know, because in some relationships, the people who did marry for love, they're jaded and they're bitter. You know, because they didn't get what they you know, they didn't get what they want. But for me, you know, I'm like, if I do get married, they're going to have a portfolio. They're going to have money. If you got saved by God, I will not marry you, because that means you choose to settle because you're beat down by the devil and you're outdated and you out of touch. And to me, that is baggage. So I want somebody with a big portfolio, big finances, you know, a person who wants to give me the best. I don't want to marry somebody and they just say, well, you went through this with your last relationship, or now you decide you want to settle down. That's not going to help me.
Absolutely. So you don't qualify then. What I mean by that is you had a serious relationship. So when I said, you know, it's a red flag, I know men who are over 40 that has never been in a serious relationship, never been married, doesn't have any children. That is a red flag to me. At least be in a serious relationship or something like that. To me, that shows that you don't know how to commit.
Okay, but is committing even good now today?
It is. It is.
And I'm only asking. I'm not trying to like start. I'm just saying, is committing even good today? Considering some people got to get high on dope, they got to get drunk to be sexually active, but they can go right around the corner and do it with somebody who fit their needs and desire.
Yeah, I think commitment is the safest thing today because it's a lot going on out here. It's a lot going on.
I know they got soup. Right, because, you know, we didn't have, like, 4 cases of super gonorrhea. You know, they got the ringworm STD that came out
Ooh.
In Minnesota. And then a lot of people will be laying in bed with you talking about they, you know, they having night sweats when they really got that bug. And then some of them be having syphilis and ain't went and got their shots. And then some of them got dingleberries downstairs and they're not going to get their cold Bruh. Treatment. And some of them is not even, you know, doing what they supposed to do. And then the other thing I want to tell you, too, is 4 DNAs. All DNAs does not mix. So if your body is itching, you do not have chlamydia. You don't have gonorrhea. It's just your blood type doesn't match with their blood type. So if you got an itchy feeling or you're burning, your blood is telling you this is not the blood type for you.
Ladies, don't let that man throw your pH balance off.
There you go. And if he doesn't, and if he does not urinate after he ejaculates, that should be the biggest red flag. Y'all have yourself a great weekend. Bye bye.
Thank you so much, Al. Thank you.
Oh, that was good.
So today, listen, all week I spent doing interviews. Again, yesterday we spoke to Sade Robinson's mother, my good sister Sheena, and she was able to give us information surrounding the case that the world doesn't know. We interviewed Philly Flyboy and Kenneth Mays and Homer Blow, and we had some amazing conversation. We healed. We let people go. We talked about grief, legacy, businesses, all of the above. But listen, also last week I was super sick. I was extremely sick. Those who know me know I have, and those who don't, I have lupus. So whenever there's a virus or something going around, it affects me a little bit differently. And y'all, it was a wrap. Oh my gosh, last week was so rough. And I still, you know, was showing up, pushing through it. Then I come this week and we had some amazing conversations. So the past couple of weeks has been a lot. Today, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. I want to do a Friday kickback. Now, we're going to do the Black Household Hall of Fame. This came up because I realized in my parenting that my children do not qualify to be a part of the Black Household Hall of Fame. They have no idea about anything. The only time they get a chance to understand what is when they head to their grandmother's house, to my mother's house. So what does this mean? What is the Black Household Hall of Fame? All right, let's talk about it. The nominees are the Butter Cookie tin filled with sewing supplies. If you have an elder in your family, your grandmama, your mama, somebody, y'all know what I'm talking about. Those cookies that they gift on Christmas in the blue tin can, they are so good. They have different flavors and stuff like that. But we recycle those and we use it to fill it up with sewing supplies. Grocery store bags as garbage bags. I don't care how much money I have in this world. I don't care how wealthy, how good I'm living. I'm going to always use grocery store bag as a garbage bag. I mean, I have garbage bags, obviously, right? But they come in handy. They come in handy. They come in handy when it's time to pack that plate up. If you're cooking on a Sunday and you got to take your people some food, go ahead, throw that aluminum foil over the plate, put it in a grocery store bag and send it on his way.
So is you a drawer plastic bag holder or like it's like a whole big old cabinet?
So I used to be a drawer plastic bag holder but I'm not OCD, but I'm kind of OCD, so it started bothering me. So what I did was I just created a bin in my pantry, right? Not where the food is, but where the cleaning supply is. And then I tie them up little and then I just stick them inside of there.
I got bags inside a bag.
Me.
Whole cabin full of them.
Listen, not just grocery store bags. I keep some store-bought bags, too. You know, like if I'm going shopping and it's a nice, durable bag, oh, baby, that's going to get repackaged. Gift bags, I say, that's going to get repackaged. But them grocery store bags, I don't know, man. That's they might win this one. The living room that can't nobody sit in. Oh, my gosh. Listen. I am guilty of that. I never thought I was going to be that auntie that had the living room that don't nobody sit in. The only difference is I don't got no plastic on my couch. But if you was growing up, you know exactly what I mean when you go by your auntie house, your bougie auntie, your grandma house that got the plastic on the chairs and the couch. It's a living room, a sitting area that you do not touch. It's just strictly for decorations. Don't ask Black people why. Just know you are not allowed to sit in there. Now, the only exception may be during holidays, but it depends on if that furniture is white, right? The giant wooden fork and spoon. I don't know why this is like the epitome of kitchen decorations.
Like on a wall?
It's on a wall. This is like the epitome of kitchen decorations. Walk in like, who told you to go and buy this big ass wooden fork and spoon and hang it on your wall? Listen, we talked about the plastic on the furniture, the candy dish. Now, it's some real history behind this candy dish. My mom is big on candy dishes. And she has the caramel, what are they called? The Wetherspoons. Now they make them chewy. Like, oh my gosh, that and the peppermints, them candy bowls. Yeah, yes, see, come on now. Let's talk, man, listen. Candy bowls is most definitely a part of the Black Household of Fame. All right, now Werther's. This is, yeah, the Werther's, yep. Though I love those. This is one of the biggest nominees for the Black Household Hall of Fame. That mystery bag of cords. That mystery bag that got all these extension cords. They got the cords that go to electrical radios that you don't even own no more. You just got cords for DVD players. I ain't even got a DVD. It's just always a bag in the house, in the closet with cords. Where do these cords go? Why are we keeping cords? Like, are we going to recycle them? I don't understand. Another thing growing up, the VCR blinking 12 o'clock. Nobody never set the time on the VCR. It just blinks all day. So if you are just tuning in, we are talking about the Black Household Hall of Fame. We've been heavy all week, y'all. It's time to turn up and have some fun. The nominees are the butter cookie tin filled with sewing supplies, grocery bags used as garbage bags, the living room that can't nobody sit in, the giant wooden fork and spoon hanging on that kitchen wall, that plastic on your mama or your grandmama couch, the candy dish that can't nobody touch, and that mystery bag, of course. I want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. What do you think belongs in the Black Household Hall of Fame? What belongs in a Black Household? I got something for you. A belt. A belt. They be on us. Like, we can't whoop these shoes. Listen.
A
belt and a switch most definitely is a part of the Black Household Hall of Fame. Let's talk about it. 833-212-1017. You can also hit me on the chat. You can hit me on social media at The Jazzy Effect. I want to hear from you. We got to go to break. When we come back, we are going to touch on which generation had the best television shows, the 70s, 80s, 90s, or 2000s. Listen, we ain't here to argue. We're here to state facts. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. What's the word, Milwaukee? Happy Friday. It is time to kick back. All week we've been talking about some heavy stuff, but today, man, listen, it's a Friday kickback. We about to have some fun. If you are just now tuning in, we want to hear from you. What is or should be a part of the Black Household Hall of Fame? Some of the things we were talking about. Man, listen, using your grocery store bags as garbage bags, that plastic on your grandmama couch, the butter cookie tin full of sewing supplies, the candy dish that nobody can touch, and that gut living room that you cannot sit in. We got a caller on the line. Tony, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for tapping in with us. You got a comment on the Black Household Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I'm not from Milwaukee, but I know it's so country. They be having dishes on the dining room table. Dishes and forks and spoons and knives. It's like, who coming over?
Where are you from, Tony?
I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Philly.
Okay. Yes. So, to that point, you know what? I'm glad I got to put this on my list because that is hilarious. I have no idea what that is about. I have no idea.
Is it just Milwaukee? I just want to know. Is it just Milwaukee?
No, not at all. Not at all. I've been in houses like that. I grew up in a house like that. It's similar to the living room that you can't sit in. It's just there.
In the dining room with the china and the two sets of china. It's a bowl. It's a dinner plate. It's a fork. It's all of that. Like somebody coming over.
Just collecting dust. Can't even use it on dust. Holidays. Can't use it for celebrations. It's just there.
It's just there because the mail, everything that you bring in the house is sitting there too. But them dining plates and forks are still there.
Ain't nobody using it. We got to do something about that. That most definitely qualifies as the Black Household of Fame. That might actually win. Thank you so much, Tony, for tapping in with us. Make sure you continue to tap in with us Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. To 7 p.m. And shout out to Philly, too, man. Shout out to everybody in Philly. Listen, before we went to break, we were talking about the Black Household Hall of Fame. I want to get into something else. Right? I want y'all to call in and tell me what y'all think. What else should be a part of it? While you're calling in, let's talk about one of my favorite topics, TV sitcoms, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000. Who had the best era? This is extremely difficult. This is difficult for me because I am a person who likes to watch all of the old shows, right? I'm only 38, but my parents are old. My parents, my father is in his 70s. My mother is in her late 60s. So I grew up watching Cheers and, Matlock and MASH and In the Heat of the Night. My kids be like, what is you watching, right? Let's talk about it. We got a caller on the line. Jerome, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for tapping in with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself today?
I'm doing good.
Well, I wanted to add to the Hall of Fame the most important piece that's always in everybody's house, and that's that big family Bible that nobody can carry.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Where is the Bible sitting at for you, Jerome?
It's usually sitting in the cocktail table in the front yard. I mean, in the living room that you can't go in.
Yes. Nobody can touch it. Nobody can lay a hand on it.
It's got some genealogy in it as far back as they can remember. And then we never continued it. So it just stopped at a certain point.
Yes. Yes. You know what? I'm adding that to the list, Jerome. Thank you for that. That is a prominent Black Household Hall of Fame. I don't even think you can have a Household Hall of Fame list without the huge family Bible. Another one, the beads. The beads hanging in the doorway. Listen, I can see you. I wonder, whoever created this, I wonder if they knew what is the purpose of the beads hanging in the doorway. Like,
I mean, it sounded nice when you walked through them.
Yeah, but I can see you, man. It's not covering up nothing. I don't understand.
I forgot about the plastic on the floor, the little plastic liners, floor liners.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how many times I done tow my foot up? Because they got the rigid things at the bottom. Oh my gosh, that hurts so bad. Oh, that hurts so bad. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, you walk, especially in the wintertime. Take your shoes off at the door because you don't want to get the salt on the floor. And you walk on that plastic. Man, listen. So, we are talking about the Black Household Hall of Fame. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. What items deserve to go inside of the Black Household Hall of Fame? Now, I want to get in. This is going to be funny. This is going to be funny because every generation thinks that their generation has the best of whatever it is. However, sitcoms, I think we've had some amazing Black sitcoms across the board. So, what is your favorite sitcom from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s? Which era had the best? We're going to kick it off with the 70s. This is difficult, y'all. This is difficult. Good Times, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, What's Happening, 227. Obviously, Sanford and Son is one of the top of the top, right? I am a huge Sanford and Son. Like, I literally binge watch Sanford and Son on the weekends. I'm a huge Red Fox fan. I enjoy the comedy. It is hilarious. I can't say necessarily what era or what generation has the best TV shows, but what I will say out of the 70s, for me, is going to be Sanford and Son. Now we get into the 80s. You got A Different World. I'm sorry, 227 was not in the 70s. It was in the 80s. You got A Different World. You got 227. You got Amen. Remember Amen with, what's his name from The Jeffersons? You got Golden Girls, right? I'm choosing Golden Girls. I am choosing Golden Girls. I am a huge Golden Girls fan. It's nothing you can tell me about those ladies. I adore every last one of them. Oh, my gosh. I also enjoy A Different World. Not because they say I look like Jasmine Guy. Because I'm not going to lie. I used to run from that, but the older I get, the more I see it. I most definitely favor her, and we so happen to have the same exact name. But A Different World was very prominent for young Black people. And fun fact, a lot of people don't know it was a spinoff of The Cosby Show. It was about Vanessa going to college. So that was something that was major. It was a Black HBCU. There were a lot of rising stars in that show, and it showed what Black culture looked like. So as much as I love Golden Girls, I'm going to have to go with A Different World. Now, this is where it gets a little bit difficult. If you're watching, if you're not watching, you can't see. I'm rubbing my hand like Birdman.
All drill, y'all. Listen,
it is getting real. The 90s. Oh, my gosh. Martin, come on, y'all. Martin, Fresh Prince. Y'all know that feeling? Every time y'all hear that come on y'all TV show, it's going down. Yes. Bruh Man from the Fifth Floor, right? You got Roscoe You got so many different characters. Every time I think about Martin, I think about the episode when he had the Rottweiler and the fake Rottweiler. He was running it around like it was real. He was actually supposed to have a real Rottweiler, and they didn't bring one on set. But the entire cast broke their role. They could not keep a straight face because it was hilarious. I had a chance to watch the reunion, I think, a couple of years ago, and they were saying, I never realized how much Martin used to improvise. Like, he improvised so much on that show. They would have a script, and then they would take bits and pieces from it, but the producers allowed them to improvise, and that was one of those moments where he had to improvise.
What about them going on vacation when they said that ain't no dog? That ain't no, well, ain't no dog.
Listen, oh my God. And that thing was running around everywhere. I this is going to be tough. Fresh Prince. So Fresh Prince was a very, very great show. I loved Uncle Phil. But I'm going to have to go with Martin over Fresh Prince. I'm going to have to go with Martin over Fresh Prince. Living Single. Now, Living Single and Martin, they kind of like neck and neck. I love Maxine. Maxine was probably the most hilarious on that TV show. But I got to choose Martin over Living Single. Family Matters. Family Matters was cool. I think as a child. You know, when you were young, that was cool. The more I became older, it was like, oh, it's cool. It's all right. I just know for me as a kid, seeing Urkel turn to Stefan was like everything. I think we all was sitting around the TV on a Tuesday evening just waiting to see that. Jamie Foxx. Now, Jamie Foxx TV show most definitely is neck and neck with Martin. When you look at the punchlines, when you look at the script, that TV show was hilarious. Jamie Foxx is hilarious. Moesha. Most definitely loved Moesha. I think it resonated a little bit more with the young ladies. But my favorite thing about that TV show was the fact that they allowed them to go to the Den and showcase their talents. And it was real life scenarios. So shout out to Brandy, man. I'm a huge Brandy fan. Moesha was dope. Sister and the Wayans Brothers. The Wayans Brothers. TV show most definitely was it. But again, for me, Martin is taking the cake for the best TV show in the 90s. When we come back, let's tap into the favorite TV shows of the 2000s. Which one is yours? 833-212-1017. Which era has the best sitcom? It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.